This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we begin our show in Mattapan on the Neponset River. For years, community activists have argued that these calm waters hide layers of toxic pollution, and they've demanded federal action to clean it up. Well, the Environmental Protection Agency answered the call this week, designating the Lower Neponset a Superfund site. It's a label given to the most hazardous and uncontrolled contaminated areas in the country, and it means the federal government will throw its full weight and resources into the river's restoration. So how did we get here? Vivian Morris is the chairperson of the Edgewater Neighborhood Association. It is a coalition of people in Mattapan and Hyde Park who advocated for the Superfund designation. Vivian, welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Tiziana.
So, Vivian, years of advocacy, and then finally you are standing at a podium with leaders like Senator Elizabeth Warren, Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, announcing the Superfund designation earlier this week. How did that feel?
It's so wonderful. We're still glowing from this experience of knowing that the voices of the people have been heard, that all of the efforts by so many people, both at the congressional level and at the local level, that's now our voices are heard, and this much needed cleanup is going to happen.
So most people don't get engaged this deeply in any issue, Vivian, let alone for so long, and you have just been tenacious. Why does this issue motivate you so much? Why is this so personal to you?
Well, it's all about the health and well-being of people in the community, both through our work with the Edgewater Neighborhood Association, and I work very closely and have founded another group called Mattapan Food and Fitness Coalition. We've been working for years trying to improve the overall health of local residents. So having access to this wonderful natural resource, but we can't really push for the full access to this river that runs alongside our neighborhood without ensuring that it's actually a safe place to be.
So there's a couple of layers there, and I want to step back. The Neponset is contaminated with PCBs, which are industrial contaminants. They've been linked to several health hazards, including reproductive and neurological problems. If I'm hearing you, Vivian, it's not just concern about the exposure to the PCBs, but in this focus on health and well-being, the ability to use the green sites and natural space in your community to their fullest. Am I understanding
you
correctly?
Absolutely. We want more people from the community walking along the river, sitting by the river, you know, both for your physical health and your mental well-being. Having that access would be so important. But, you know, to be able to even do more, like go into the river, swim in the river, eat wonderful, healthy fish from the river, all of those things would improve the health of community residents. And as you know, because of so much history of inequality and other difficulties, the health conditions of people in our community are not at all where they need to be. In fact, they are way lower than they should be. So that's why all of these things are so important.
Yeah, let's stay with that for a minute, Vivian. You know, EPA data shows half of the nation's Superfund sites are located in communities of color. The Lower Neponset River certainly passes through communities of color. This sounds like it is a core justice issue for you, too. Do you believe justice is now beginning to be done?
Well, I think the path towards justice is a very long path. We've been on it for a long time, and we'll probably continue on this path. But, you know, the reason why so many of these sites are in low-income communities of color is because, you know, historically, the factories and all of these things were in working class and poor neighborhoods. And so it's just taken way too long for that to be recognized as a priority. But I'm really happy to hear that it's getting there.
And have you been mad, Vivian?
I get upset about so many things based on inequality, but that doesn't keep me from still being excited when I see another step forward.
All right. And in that excitement, tell me the vision, the dream. We know this is going to take years. None of this moves quickly. But tell me the dream for one day for the river in your community.
So I just envision both the youth from our community deepening both their understanding about environmental issues as well as enjoying and experiencing them. The elders in our community finding this wonderful space to just be happy with nature, and for people of all ages. We have this river, and it's still already a place where we want more people to see it now, to enjoy it now. It's just that over time, with the actual cleanup of the PCBs and other things in the water itself, that will just move to a higher level. And we're really looking forward to that.
All right. Vivian Morris is chairperson of the Edgewater Neighborhood Association. Vivian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, so again, the Neponset, the Lower Neponset, one of 120 Superfund sites in New England, 32 in Massachusetts. So for more on that bigger picture, let's turn to WBUR's Hannah Shenatry. Hannah, welcome.
Thank you.
So first, reactions from what you just heard from Vivian.
Yeah, I was really struck by how excited she was. I mean, Vivian Morris and many community groups have been working on this for more than two decades. It's been a really long process, and it's a really big deal that this is now a Superfund site.
So Vivian talked about, you know, people need to know about the pollution in the Neponset. It's been there a long time. Why is it only getting this designation now?
Right. So getting a Superfund designation is a really lengthy and bureaucratic process because it has to go through several rounds of review and approval. First, there had to be assessments of what was in the river. That started happening federally back in the early 2000s. Then the site has to be recommended by the state. That is a requirement of the Superfund process because Superfund sites are, they're places that the state just doesn't have the ability to handle. And then about 7 years ago, the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection officially requested the EPA consider the river for Superfund status. Republican Governor Charlie Baker supported that personally. And then that kicks off another assessment at the federal level. Now, last year, the EPA formally recommended adding the Lower Neponset to the National Priorities List, and that is what makes it a Superfund site. So then that kicked off a public comment period and then a review, the result of which is where we are today.
Okay, but I'm almost under the table just on the 20 years it took to get to the point where now they're going to study it again and before cleanup. So is this kind of, I mean, this is a generation kind of thing. Is this typical, this length?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the exact timing will range based on the site, the pollution, the state it's in, but there's always a rigorous and lengthy process of assessment, state referral, and review because the Superfund designation makes these sites eligible for a lot of federal funding. And it's also very typical for the process after a site is designated a Superfund to take a very long time. There's an extensive investigation, like you said, even before the cleanup starts. And so we're generally talking about decades, not years. However, community groups working on the Lower Neponset have committed to keeping this moving and getting this process done as quickly as possible. And the regional EPA supports that.
And I take it the pressure actually makes a difference.
Yes, it does.
All right. So do we know when cleanup will actually start?
We do not. They first need to kind of get in and see what they're really working with. But some of that process has already started. I spoke to the New England EPA's deputy director of the Superfund program, Megan Cassidy, earlier this week about that.
We're starting the work right now. We are doing work. We are working on getting contractors. We're scoping the work. So, you know, it has started.
Now, part of that scoping Cassidy mentions is, like I said, figuring out, you know, what are they looking at? Where do they pull samples and tests? So she says she hopes that part of the process will get started next spring or maybe even a little earlier in the fall, but that's kind of weather dependent.
Okay, and jumping ahead to when the cleanup actually starts, how do you get toxic soils? I mean, PCBs are tenacious. How does the cleanup actually work?
Yeah, so cleanup kind of depends on what they find in the investigation part of the process. So we don't really know yet what that's going to look like. But there are a few things to look out for based on past experience. So because the PCBs are trapped in the soil, dredging is likely to be an option here. And we saw that actually in the Hudson River in New York, particularly near Albany, where GE dredged the river because the company had contaminated it with PCBs. And the EPA has also committed to keeping the community up to date throughout the process, especially if there are stages that could be disruptive.
Okay, so I don't know how many Superfund sites I thought we had in Massachusetts, but it was nowhere near 32 or the 120 in the region. Why do we have so many?
Yeah, I think it's easy to forget now because we're this biotech hub. But Boston, Massachusetts, and New England widely was a historic industrial powerhouse. And this is the toxic legacy that we're left with as a result. EPA Administrator for Region 1, David Cash, nodded to that history at the press conference marking the designation.
Those mills and other industrial facilities were the engine of economic development in the Boston area. There's no doubt about that. But they also may have contributed to the contamination in the river sediment, which is the main reason for today's determination to list the site on the National Priorities List.
Now, the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection also notes that history. In its assessment of the Neponset, it notes that the pollution dates back to industrial activity in the early 1900s.
So you heard Vivian and me talking about the environmental justice issues here and the prevalence of Superfund sites in communities of color. Are we an exception here in Massachusetts?
No, we're definitely not. Vivian said it very clearly. Environmentally hazardous businesses in this country consistently were built into poor communities and communities of color. And that's the case here. Again, as mentioned, the part of the lower Neponset that runs through Boston, runs through Dorchester, Mattapan, and Hyde Park, all neighborhoods whose populations are predominantly people of color. And we see this nationally. According to the EPA, more than 1 in 4 Black or Hispanic Americans live within 3 miles of a Superfund site. And 60% of the new cleanup projects receiving federal funding are in historically underserved communities. So the Lower Neponset and the Superfund program more generally, they really are environmental justice issues.
Okay, so this came from industry, which means at some point there were companies involved, corporations that were responsible. How does that play out today? Is there any accountability, financial penalty, et cetera?
Yeah, so this is part of the reason that there is an investigation to start with. Part of that federal process is to try and figure out, for lack of a better word, blame. You know, the EPA will try to link the PCBs, to a specific company or companies. If those companies still exist and are solvent, they can be held financially liable for the cleanup, with the caveat of legal processes and appeals and such. If the companies do not exist anymore, or it's impossible to trace the pollution to a specific source, then the federal government will pay.
Okay, so in a sentence, what are you watching for next?
I'm watching to see how the investigation goes, see if they actually are keeping the community engaged as promised, and I'll be looking for wider spread Superfund developments. The Superfund program is getting a big influx of cash from the recently passed infrastructure law.
All right, WBUR's Hannah Shenatry, we will look forward to kind of watching that along with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Funding for WBUR's environmental coverage comes from An Unlikely Story Bookstore and Cafe in Plainville, believing that where you shop shapes where you live, with books, games, cards, decor, and more for specific interests such as the environment and climate change. In-person and live virtual events, more at anunlikelystory.com.